This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Once again, this is Eric Michaels, and you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Mental Health Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience at eHealth Radio. A leading cause of unstable mental health in the United States is anxiety. Many Americans suffer from anxiety in some form or another. Certain anxiety disorders such as OCD are biological in nature and can cause a significant degree of distress. Today we are joined by Dr. Natasha Santos, who practices at the Biobehavioral Institute, where she specializes in the treatment of anxiety disorders such as OCD and serves as the school mental health liaison. As a certified bilingual school psychologist and school advocate, she has extensive experience working with children with school anxiety, separation anxiety, OCD, and panic disorder. Dr. Santos, certainly a privilege to have you a part of eHealth Radio.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful. Certainly looking forward to hearing what you have to say on the topic of mental health and OCD. So what's the most common problem you see as a therapist as a cause of unstable mental state?
Anxiety by far. We know that it's the most common psychiatric illness affecting both children and adults in the United States. An estimated 40 million American adults suffer from anxiety disorders, so the numbers are pretty significant. About one-third of those who are actually suffering receive treatment, and we know treatment is highly effective. So it's a quite astounding problem. My specialty, I treat obsessive compulsive disorder, and that affects 1 in 100 adults, 1 in 200 children, and so it's pretty severe. And we'll sort of get into what the differences between anxiety disorders in general are and OCD specifically.
Now, what are some of the general symptoms of anxiety or OCD?
The general symptoms of anxiety are just this excessive worrying about everyday problems that's pervasive, that lasts at least 6 months. So every day, all day, or for a significant portion of the day, people can't seem to get rid of their concerns. They can't relax. They may have a heightened startle reflex, difficulty with concentration, and they also might manifest physical symptoms. And we see this a lot with kids with anxiety in the schools. The primary complaint is a stomach ache or headache, maybe some nausea and fatigue, difficulty sleeping, this restlessness. So those are general anxiety symptoms. With OCD, there's two primary symptoms, the obsessions and the compulsions. What we define as obsessions are these unwanted, intrusive thoughts, meaning these are thoughts that are distressing, that cause anxiety. They could be harmful images, harmful thoughts that the person can't sort of wipe away despite constant efforts. It's a constant recording in their brain. And the obsessions can be over germs or contamination, so fear of contracting a disease or this feeling of being dirty from a variety of surfaces or interaction with people. It can be an excessive concern about order, arrangement, or symmetry, so things needing to line up perfectly. It could be fear of harming other individuals, and so not that they have an intent or there's an increased likelihood that they would harm individuals, but it's these constant distressing thoughts that I may run over someone in my car or I may become violent towards my mother. And it's not necessarily that there's an increased risk of engaging in violent or aggressive behavior, but these are the constant obsessions that these people experience. The other side of that is the compulsions, right? So this is the behavior. So the obsessions are more the mental rituals, the constant rumination over these distressing thoughts. The compulsions are the behaviors that people engage to decrease the anxiety associated with these obsessions. So for example, if someone's OCD pertains to contamination or hygiene, they may engage in constant hand washing. They may avoid shaking hands, or they may have hour-long rituals of showering. And so that's a classic example of a compulsion. It can be checking. So checking and rechecking several times that the stove is turned off, so you're not causing greater harm, or that the risk is low for any possible injury to others. Checking that appliances are unplugged, making sure the doors are locked. It could be repeating can be another compulsion. So inability to stop asking someone the same question. So within maybe 20 minutes, the same person asks for reassurance about 15 to 20 times. And so these are just some examples of the compulsions associated with very classic obsessions in OCD. So with anxiety in general, there are some basic physiological, physical symptoms, the restlessness, difficulty concentrating, sleep, fatigue, eating, concerns. But then with OCD, you see the two primary symptoms, which are obsessions, these very anxiety-provoking thoughts, and associated with some form of a behavior, some form of a compulsion to decrease that anxiety.
Now, what are the causes of OCD?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, anxiety is so pervasive and is such a problem in the United States, and we know treatment that is highly effective, but we still don't know a definitive cause, especially for OCD. There's still no one concrete answer. It is considered to be in part a biological disorder. Research has shown that certain structures in the brain that communicate with each other via the neurotransmitter serotonin are affected in patients with OCD. This is exactly why part of the treatment that we know, in addition to psychotherapy and CBT and such, is a treatment, a medication regimen of some type of SSRI, which stands for selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. So really to act on those neurochemicals in the brain that obviously that we know from research is a little bit impaired. So, and we know that it runs in families. So we know that genes seem to play a partial role in the development of the disorder, but that stress, life stress, stressors, major transitions may induce the activity of the genes. But we don't quite know 100% the exact cause.
Today we are with Dr. Natasha Santos, who practices at the Biobehavioral Institute, where she specializes in the treatment of anxiety disorders such as OCD and serves as the school mental health liaison here on eHealth Radio's Mental Health Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. What is the treatment for OCD?
What we know is the most effective treatment for OCD is cognitive behavioral therapy. Cognitive behavioral therapy is a general name for evidence-based, highly effective treatments that involve identifying and changing negative thinking and behavior patterns. So there's a cognitive and a behavioral component to it. CBT involves reading about the problem, keeping records between appointments, completing homework assignments, being able to identify negative automatic thoughts, and being able to replace them with positive ones. The behavioral piece, specifically for OCD, is what we call exposure and response prevention. So it's almost similar to treating a phobia. If someone came in with a dog phobia, you wouldn't just sit there and spend majority of the sessions talking about dogs, but you would eventually try to systematically expose them to different triggers or events related to dogs to stimulate that fear. And so it's a similar process. It's a process for reducing fear and anxiety responses, and patients are gradually exposed according to a hierarchy of anxiety-provoking situations and events. And so this really operates on the principle of systematic desensitization, that after a while, that it won't trigger the same level of anxiety, and they'll habituate to that. And so it exposes them to increasing levels of the trigger. So if it was contamination, maybe at a lower level, it would be just coming in close contact with someone's hand, where maybe a higher level, and as you gradually work towards it, it may be actually shaking hands with a stranger. And so over time, individuals will become less responsive and less anxious to things that would normally be more triggering.
Tell us, what are some strategies to manage general day-to-day anxiety?
General strategies to manage even a mild level of anxiety can be exercise. There are physiological benefits to physical activity. We know it releases endorphins, and that can be associated with more positive mental health. Eating healthy, the foods, you know, how we feel physically can affect us mentally. So good eating habits, good sleep hygiene. The literature, it's coming more and more known that the literature shows us that good sleeping patterns have very significant effects on our mental health and even our longevity. So getting a good sleep hygiene, being able to learn relaxation techniques, so whether stress ball works for you or being able to remove yourself from the anxiety-provoking event, taking deep breaths, being able to calm yourself into a place where you don't feel so agitated, and also being able to identify your triggers. So being able to kind of make links and associations between things or events that may cause you to experience anxiety or distress. And of course, if it's a clinical problem or if it's significantly impacting on your daily activities, to find a therapist that can effectively treat this anxiety in a way that we know works.
Dr. Santos, tell us where we can connect with you online and also to get more information that would be helpful.
You can check out my website, my blog, which is at www.natashasantos.com. And on it, there's links to my Facebook page. And on it, there's useful resources and links for parents and families and school resources on a variety of mental health issues as well as OCD. And we also have a lot of information on my company's website, which is www.biobehavioralinstitute.com.
Very good. And if you would, what one thing could you leave with our listeners in form of a tip in conclusion covering more on this topic?
Know what your limitations are. Know when your anxiety is too high, and learn ways to cope with it effectively on your own. Because a lot of times we keep going and pushing ourselves to the max until it becomes more of a reactive approach. But we should take more of a proactive approach, even with mental health, and knowing what is too much for us. When are we feeling too anxious? And then whether it's with self-coping strategies or with the help of a professional, how to sort of proactively keep that in check, because we don't want things to turn into more of a clinical issue.
Very informative. We've been talking with Dr. Natasha Santos, who practices at the Biobehavioral Institute, where she specializes in the treatment of anxiety disorders such as OCD, and serves as the school mental health liaison. As a certified bilingual school psychologist and school advocate, she has extensive experience working with children with school anxiety, separation anxiety, OCD, and panic disorder. And the website of reference, once again, is natashasantos.com. Dr. Santos, thanks so much for being with us today here on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Likewise, and this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio in the Mental Health Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network, and we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.